true values that's made America great, the kinds of commercial success that all of us really will eventually return to in the end.
No, it's ironic. I'm back in a van.
You are back in a van. Whoa. So you sleep illegally at night? Is that...
No, actually, I'm sleeping legally.
You are sleeping legally. Is she lying to us? Are you sleeping inside the city limits in a van?
In someone's, actually their own private property. So I'm okay.
A fenced in side yard or backyard?
Yes.
Well, we just wanted to be sure. So
we're all protected. We have a large dog.
No doubt the grandson of the, what was the name of the St. Bernard?
Toby.
Toby's grandson.
Oh, Bodie Bear is my present dog. He's like a white St. Bernard, a Pyrenees.
What do you think of this sleeping ban controversy now? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I've run into a little bit myself because I just wanted to take a break and go up to the North Coast. And we were woken up at 3 in the morning by sheriffs who wouldn't tell us we couldn't camp out there, but they wanted to be sure that we weren't axe murderers or on America's Most Wanted list. So they were going to check our IDs and they were going to...
To ordinary residents, sort of, you know, wake them up at 3 in the morning. You have a right to live here, but let's just, you know, look into the flashlight for about 5 minutes while I examine it. Yeah, interesting.
Well, it's interesting because the nice RVs that were parked near us never got that wake-up call. They were very selective.
They didn't have time to do it all.
That's possible.
Yeah. Interesting enough, when you talk about the deputies, you know, of course, and if you're a regular listener to my show, and you out there in the audience may know that, there is no camping ban in the county. There's a camping ban in certain limited parts of the county, Pasatiempo, Tanner Heights, like about 5% of the county. The rest of the county, thanks to Gary Patton and the Board of Supervisors in the mid-80s, has no camping ban. Because in order to get a camping ban, you need to hold a public hearing and give notice, and it's a kind of a complicated process. And the sheriff, Al Noren, your old pal, wanted to have a countywide camping ban, but he was defeated by people like Ray Grunike, and actually literally scores of campers who flooded the Board of Supervisors in 1984 and 1985 when this was proposed. So there is no county camping ban, but if you ask the sheriffs about this, they will say, oh, it's illegal to camp in the county except in a campground, which of course is a flat lie, or let's put it this way, an ignorant statement, we would hope at best. But it becomes a more sinister thing when you learn that, when you inform them about it, then you call the next day and you ask the same question and they give you the same answer. So it's a if anybody tells you that the city sleeping ban law doesn't need to be changed because anybody who has a problem can just go sleep outside in the county, I have to say, and your experience seems to confirm, that's not true. You're going to get harassed wherever you go. What we have to start doing is setting down some basic fundamental human rights that all these law enforcement authorities are obliged to respect.
Well, actually, we had another wake-up call where they used the excuse that someone had phoned in that there was a couple arguing out where we were camped, and that maybe we were that couple, even though we were woken up from a dead sleep.
Maybe it's sort of a dreamy argument, you know. You can never tell, or possibly. So how you were mostly live in the city, but you have gone outside the city occasionally in order to explore the delights of the sheriff's department.
Well, the main reason is to smell the ocean and just be out by the ocean for the night. And I assume, like you said, that anything outside city limits was okay.
Except for certain small areas, mostly near Emmeline Street. If you go out in that direction, you got to be careful. You're not in a no camping zone. We've actually tried to get maps of these areas. They're hard to find. The county doesn't like to have it known that it's legal to sleep in the county because theoretically people could go set up tents on county property and the county would have to initiate trespass actions against them. In fact, we tried to do that, but the county, Marty Wormhout, I think it was, or was it Gary Andy Schifrin, the aide to Gary Patton, just couldn't find that information for us, even though he looked real hard. Ah, dear Andy. And he had a similar problem finding useful information to help the city when it was looking for a campground inside the city limits in 1995-96 when the city was closing the Coral Street open-air shelter. So Andy is a hard-working guy, but, you know, there are limits to what you can do. After all, this we're only human beings, after all. Some of us are in houses, and some of us should be moving on, don't you think?
Oh, I agree.
So, is there more about Scott's Creek that you remember, or any of that gang back in those days that, you remember there being much harassment of people in the city, people who were sleeping in vehicles?
I'm not familiar with what happened in the city, because we've always stayed outside the city limits on the north coast.
You always stayed outside? Was it mainly because of the bracing air, or was it because of bad experience?
It was actually partly nature and just wanting to be out by the ocean. But yeah, probably a big part of it, too, was you knew you were going to get the police department, whereas we were dealing with the sheriff, you'd be dealing with the city police.
Different uniforms, same shit, as we might put it. Well, is there more you want to add, Eve, or would you like to make an appeal for anything?
Actually, a home.
What about your van, your bus?
Actually, what's stopping us, I'd like to get a caretakership, but the problem is I wanted to be a renter, but because of the monies involved and the fact that I have a 150-pound dog is a big deterrent.
He's big, he's bad.
He's big but sweet, but because of his size, they just automatically think that he's... Yeah.
Crap all over the garage.
Eat their house? I don't know, but he's just a very sweet dog. But
for rent, are you looking for a place just to kind of house sit? Or
at this point, I'd rather do a caretaking thing. I've done that before, you know, rent for in exchange for pet services or for land maintenance, housekeeping.
How can people get in touch with you?
Through the tenants' union, which is 426-0644.
Yes, it's that familiar number, folks. 426-0644. Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. You want to give Eve a hand with a house-sitting possibility, or what did you call it?
Caretakership.
Caretakership. And she has one other request.
We also need desperately canvassers so we can get our message out to tenants, what they can do when they're in trouble. And we need to raise money for our new operations. And you can reach us at 426-0644.
And so definitely call the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, and then when you've gotten tired of dealing with them, you can come back to the old Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban, which is at 457-9754, extension, and I've got it this time, 182. So again, that's 457-9754, extension 182. And actually, you can do both things at the same time. You can carry a petition around the city to voters and then go to our door to door and ask folks if they need help with rent problems, or if they want to help those who can, you know, are trying to deal with the horrible rent realities in Santa Cruz. Thank you, Eve, and don't go away if you want to listen, but I'm going to do a little more reading here. You got to go. Well, they're leaving, but I want to thank you for coming in, and I want a hug before you go.
Okay.
Always get a hug. That's my motto. Great hugging here, folks. Give me one of those hugs here. Boy, I wish you could be here, folks, for these hugs. They're just incredible. Hug in your own living rooms or in your own trailers. Come on, you can do it. So, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, the only radio station that actually gives you hugs on the air, 96.3 FM. And I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris, on Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. Bathrobespierre, of course, comes from Robespierre, the famous French revolutionary figure, combined with bathrobe, which is the kind of the tawdry garb I wear on sleeping demonstrations when we're out there in solidarity with homeless folks who got no place to sleep. And we're trying to make it colorful and obvious to the media. Hence, Bathrobespierre. Well, here's a speech I almost gave to City Council on Tuesday night, but didn't, because instead I talked about Pelton Street and kind of recapitulated what I'd said before and what you may have heard on the air from me about Pelton Street, that five votes are selling the homeless garden project down the sewer for no good reason. But I was going to talk about Happy John Dine. You may read about Happy John Dine in kind of a rather rough article I wrote for City on a Hill Press coming out, actually should be out now, tonight. But here's a better version of it, and you get to hear it now. Ghost of a Chance for Justice for Happy John Dine. Happy John Dine is dead. Police officialdom has closed the case. But basic questions remain unanswered. Was there a conspiracy to kill Dine? Who knows? Is there a concerted effort to whitewash the police department, regardless of how badly it screws up? Without question. The Belcher Danner's story, Santa Cruz Sentinel 1114, tells us that Dine, A, had a weapon in his hand, B, had a weapon pointed at the police, C, assumed a combat stance, and D, acted in a threatening manner. The Citizens Police Review Board, however, concluded that Dine was not in a combat stance, and B, he did not have a weapon, that is a toy gun, pointed at the police. The Citizens Police Review Board story, Santa Cruz Sentinel, January 14th, tells us that Dine either was reaching for a weapon or drawing one. So actually, both stories are legitimately questionable. The Citizens Police Review Board story is that of the killer, Officer Connor Carey. The Belcher Danner story is that of Connor's partner, Martin Over, and Connor's friend, Catalyst bouncer Ben Newman, the man who was in the back of the squad car and filed the original complaint against Happy John Dine, possibly having a history of hostility toward Dine. We have some indication of how Belcher and Danner came up with their story, since the DA's investigation was and is in the public library. But we have no idea of how the Citizens Police Review Board reached its conclusion, since they refused to hold public hearings and refused to give us any idea of their reasoning process in why they believed some witnesses and disbelieved others. Behind closed doors, the Citizens Police Review Board chose to disbelieve 9 non-police witnesses and take the police story as gospel. It refused to re-question the officers, it declined to call crucial witnesses that were never interviewed, and it gave us no insight into why they made these choices. And this council, the city council, spoke not a peep of protest. But both the Citizens Police Review Board and the original Belcher Danner story ran afoul of virtually every non-police witness. These witnesses saw nothing in Dine's hand, no threatening behavior, and no gun pointed at the police. Key witnesses were never re-interviewed to say whether they saw Dine going for a gun or drawing a gun, which is now the official story that came out of the Citizens Police Review Board and being passed around by the Sentinel and accepted by the City Council. What many of them did say was, these witnesses said, that they saw no gun in Dine's hand and nothing pointed at the police while Carey pumped 2 bullets into Dine's abdomen. Other witnesses testified they saw Martin Over draw a gun from Dine's clothing after the shooting, and these were ignored. These disparities between the Belcher-Danner version and the Citizens Police Review Board City Council version are remarkable and cast serious doubt on the credibility of all the agencies involved. But Celia Scott's City Council has refused to direct the Citizens Police Review Board to hold public hearings and an independent investigation on the case, as would seem elementary in this, the most serious case the Citizens Police Review Board has ever had. Was Officer Carey criminally liable or negligent in slaying Dine? The issue is unclear. Did Belcher and Danner whitewash this killing with a story that even the Citizens Police Review Board rejected? Of this, there is no doubt. Yet neither the Citizens Police Review Board nor the City Council that appointed that board had a word of criticism for Police Chief Belcher or District Attorney Art Danner, two officials who sought to close the lid on this case 10 days after Dine died in a pool of blood on the Front Street sidewalk, with a story rejected by their own body, the Citizens Police Review Board. The board rejected the Belcher-Danner story, yet embraced these two gentlemen, and the police, both the police chief and the district attorney, without any kind of criticism. Well, you can't have it both ways. Board Chair Bill Christie has not replied to written questions he had promised to answer. Citizens Police Review Board member Bruce Morris blew off a scheduled meeting with us. CPRB spokesperson Alan Lang appeared on community television to defend his board's whitewash of the case, but failed to mention he had missed at least one of the 3 closed Dine hearings, and I think possibly 2. The glaring disparities between the Citizens Police Review Board's new official story and the Belcher-Danner story that was dismissed by Police Review Board member Lang as, quote, a mere matter of milliseconds. However, if you're talking about the difference between holding a gun out and pointing it at the police and reaching for something as what happened, those are 2 completely different stories. And it may indicate that neither of those stories is true. Since the Belcher-Danner story, that's the one about pointing the gun, is clearly discredited, why didn't the board, the Public Police Review Board, publicly uphold complaints against Chief Belcher and Officer Martin Over, the source of the discredited story? The board's silence here speaks volumes. Now, when I spoke to Gary Yamane of the board several days ago, he told me, well, the complaints didn't say that the police chief gave misinformation to the public. It said he was covering up. And we didn't think he was covering up. So it seems to me they're playing semantic games here at best. Certainly some kind of criticism or some kind of explanation of the difference between the story by the police chief that was given out 16 hours after the killing and has remained, since the police chief has not changed his story, nor has the district attorney, and the final story found to be the true story, at least from their point of view, by the Citizens Police Review Board. The incredible difference between these stories certainly indicates you either believe one, you believe the other, or you believe neither. And if you believe the Citizens Police Review Board story, then you've got to criticize the police chief. But for some reason, that criticism did not appear in the Citizens Police Review Board report or in the City Council's final disposition of this case. This case needs a true public airing with real cross-examination of witnesses and exposure of evidence instead of ineffectual gestures. A council determined to back Belcher uses the crippled and compromised Citizens Police Review Board. If he had shot Carey under identical circumstances, Dine would be in jail for murder. If Happy John had shot Carey, he would be in jail for murder, and every aspect of this case would be revealed in a public trial. A colorful eccentric was gunned down under questionable circumstances. Dine also happened to be one of the group targeted by downtown merchants, the city council, and the police department under their downtown ordinances and their sleeping ban, activists concerned with civil rights for the homeless. Dine may not be entitled to any more protection than the rest of the community, but does he deserve any less? When we, Santa Cruzans for Full Disclosure, a group that formed to demand full public hearings on this issue, when we paid for a copy of the dispatcher radio tape, there were five crucial minutes of silence between 6:37 and 6:44 p.m. when Dine was shot. That sounds like 7 minutes, actually. I guess two of the minutes had something in it. There were 5 minutes of silence during that period. All statements made by Carey and Over had been deleted. I call upon Officer Carey, Officer Over, the Police Officers Association, and Police Chief Steve Belcher to waive confidentiality requirements and put a transcript of that radio dispatcher's tape in the public library along with the DA's report. It is ironic that we must appeal to the police department to provide missing evidence to reassure the community because the Citizens Police Review Board has refused to do its job. Now, that's a speech I wrote for City Council, Ghost of a Chance for Justice for Happy John Dine, plus I added a lot of peripheral comments. I'm now going to play you a tape of an interview about Officer Martin Over, who has returned to apparently his bad old ways of harassment on the mall. And then shortly I'll be ending Bathrop Spears Broadsides. You're listening to those, of course, on 96.3 FM here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. We will be returning on Sunday at 11 for a 2.5-hour show. And you're invited, if you have any comments about the show, to give me a call between shows at 423-HUFF. So hang tight. Change after the trial? I mean, was there a... After they lost, the county lost this big trial. They couldn't get these people declared, you know, criminals for sleeping at Sky. Sorry about that. We're still on the same old tape. Let me quickly shift over here and give you the promised interview. Sometimes get a little confused, surrounded by papers as I am. We may not have time to do that this time. Actually, no, I think we're okay. Let's see here. Let's try a little music, and maybe we'll be able to do it right before the break.
The shark has pretty teeth, dear, and he shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has Mackie, dear, and he keeps it out of sight. When the shark bites with his teeth, dear, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, where's Mackie? bed. On the sidewalk, Sunday morning, lies a body losing life. Someone sneaking round the corner is the someone at the knife. From a tugboat by the river, a cement bag dropping down. The cement's just for the weight, dear. Bet your Mackie's back in town. Louis Miller disappeared, dear. Just a jackknife has Mackie's dear, and he keeps it.
Look, there goes Mac the knife.
Out of sight.
Bam Bam and Turtle Turtle. You say you had some observations on Officer Over.
Yes, today. Let's see. Today is January the 20th. That's January the end 27th. Of that one.
Yes, go ahead. And what did you notice about Over?
Oh, well, about Over in particular or the situation?
Tell me about the situation.
All right, I will. That's the homeless brother. I forget his name, but I'll give it to you at a later date.
Right.
He's been around for many, many years, and every day he comes every morning carrying his entire pack with him, you know, and carries him and keeps it all day long because he has no place to be and has no place to put his pack. Anyhow, he put his pack down in front of Santa Cruz Roasting Company, went and got a cup of coffee, came back out, and the officers were there. And
Officer Over among them?
Officer Over, as well as two other... One other officer, probably one in blue and black uniform, the other one in slightly in like riot gear uniform type energy. Actually, it was riot gear.
It was a menacing pack. Huh?
Menacing, very menacing pack. Anyhow, so Officer Over demanded that the brother pick it up and move along. He can't keep it there. And the homeless brother stood strong and said, you know, he demanded that he was a person just like everybody else, and he put it there for a minute, and it's his stuff, and he went to go get a cup of coffee just like any other consumer, you know, and he had a right to be there. And so Officer Over, while the brother was preparing his coffee, he opened a sugar packet, and the top that he ripped off while he was talking fell on the ground, and Officer Over proceeded to give him a ticket for littering.
Yes.
So of course that enraged him, as our this homeless brother is easy to enrage because he's been harassed many, 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 many times. So things started going on, in which case he started getting loud and telling Officer Over that he couldn't move him anywhere. He'll be wherever he goddamn wants to be. You know, he's a citizen. He's not hurting anyone. A free man, yes, sir. Anyhow, in which case, Officer Over called his sergeant and proceeded to give him another ticket for littering.
Second ticket for littering?
Yes, he did.